thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm wild here, my boy. Ray Jeezy, Will T is out. Will's always out, man. What's up with that,
bro? He always says I'm out. Which is not true, but we have a little rivalry. It's okay.
It's like, and he got turf toe. And he don't even play a sport. How do you get turf toe?
Will T is often injured. I can at least say that about him. I don't know how he sustains these injuries, but he does exercise. I've been to the gym with him. He rides a bike quite often. It's quite possible that he was injured either in the gym or on a bike, but turf toe. Very interesting.
I know, I just don't get that. But anyway, Will T would always say, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. So I'm going to say, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. We will have quarterback Bashaud Breeland on the show to talk with us. We'll talk about the NFL draft, which starts Thursday. So at the 8:20 mark, we'll break down the Washington Redskins draft picks, who they should pick. At 8:30, we'll discuss the Washington Wizards, Toronto Raptors, NBA playoff series. At 8:40, we'll have WNXT's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic to talk about the Caps advancing to the second round of Stanley Cup playoffs. Finally, at the 8:50 mark, we'll talk about WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr.'s upcoming fight versus Joseph Diaz Jr. Ray got to experience that situation.
Jojo Diaz, stand-up dude. He's going to get knocked down, but he's a stand-up.
But right now, we have free agent cornerback Bashaud Breeland on the show. He was with the Skins from 2014 to 2017. What's good, Bree?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for being on. I saw that you used to play basketball back in high school. Are you paying attention to the NBA playoffs?
No, I'm not currently. I'm staying in rest and trying to recover from my injury, trying to get back on the field.
Okay, so how's your foot doing right now, man?
Hey, it's doing pretty good. It's on the up and up. Each week I'm progressing. As you know, I'm a fast healer, so it's coming along pretty good.
That was up. So, and what happened with your foot?
It was a freak accident. It was an injury that I had growing up, kind of re-injured.
Okay.
Got hit by a golf cart, and it just turned for the worse at one point. Everything's on the up and up now, and it's almost back to full strength.
All right. Speaking of your free agency, so how many teams have been in contact with you? I don't want to put your business on blast. That's not my thing. I want to know how many teams just contacted you.
At this current point, it's been 8 teams checking in to see where my current health is. I wanted to do more talking after the draft, stay in the loop, and that nature.
Okay, so out of the 8 teams, is Washington one of them?
I mean, they reached out recently to see my current status and say they want to stay in the loop.
Okay, because I'm asking, we got the chance to cover you guys a few games last season in the locker room. It seemed like the defensive unit was a pretty tight-knit group in comparison to the offense, at least from our observation. So how true is that? And would you, you know, like to come back to join what they called the Flight Marshals last year?
I mean, I'm always wanted to be a Washington Redskins for my career. So happy it didn't turn out that way during the start of free agency. They didn't come to the table in that time. And Flight Marshals, you know what I'm saying? We were not in pass defense last year. Me and DJ Sweat and Quentin Dunbar, we became bros off the field. And I would love to play with those guys, but it didn't turn out that way. But right now, I'm just focused on getting healthy and finding out who won't bring him to come be the player and the person that he is.
Yo, real quick, too, I want to make sure we keep the focus on you. Again, thanks for joining us. But I could also tell how close you all were when Kendall Fuller got traded, the reaction that came from your guys. What was your reaction at the time?
It hurt the season where he progressed from year one to year two. It was shocking to all of us. We none of us thought that would happen. Not Kendall Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a business. Sometimes you gotta roll with how the cards fall.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have cornerback Bashaud Breeland online. So Bree, I've said this to you before. Like, I don't get it, because I feel, to me, since you've been here, you've been, one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. But why is it in this area? I want to say in this area. It seems like you get a lot of hate.
I don't really feel like it's the city of the fans of D.C., Washington, D.C.
Okay.
It's the national people, they don't like when players be themselves and stick up for themselves. So that's really the love, where the love-hate relationship comes in at. But as far as Washington and their fans, I really don't feel like they hate Breland.
I feel
love, I think, love coming from Washington fans.
Now, I want to say, my man, like, you look at what your progression and whatnot, if you look at what you, if you mark up what you've done compared to other cornerbacks, you won, again, you won a better cornerback, especially that season when the Skins got to the postseason. That year, arguably, you were top 10 cornerback that season.
Can you repeat that?
Like, I was saying, like, the year 2015, the year that y'all went to the postseason. Like, arguably that year, you were a top 10 cornerback. So I never got the whole hate or of anybody saying, well, all right, Bree, the Redskins can do better than Bree. I think people don't realize what they have when they have it. Because I don't know how much you know about the prior players in this Washington Redskins organization. You're compared more to a Carlos Rogers. It's like the same way when Carlos Rogers was here. It's like top cornerbacks, but in this, for some strange reason, in this media market, like you said, now you don't get the love like you're supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that throughout the history of Washington, players that came out, it's like they hate you when you're there, they love you when you're gone. But it's all about the passion of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to take the ball at some point. Throughout my down stretches, I was that one that had to take the ball.
Bree, you may not want to delve too far into this, considering that you could possibly return to Washington. However, just going off the last question, it wasn't necessarily the fans or the pundits that I thought was critical of you, but I didn't know if your head coach necessarily 100% backed you last season. You want to allude to how you felt about, you know, your treatment by Coach Gruden from training camp and throughout the course of the year?
Can you repeat that?
Coach Gruden, your relationship with Coach Gruden, how was that? Do you feel like he was supportive? From my vantage point, I didn't think so.
I feel like me and Coach Gruden had a good relationship. It's like a father-son relationship. Sometimes it's kind of knucklehead when you have to show tough love. And I feel like I'm one of those guys. Like, you really can't be nice to for me to really get it sometimes. And I never really felt like me and Coach Gruden had any animosity towards each other or any bad vibes with each other. I mean, that was just something that was rolled up by the media. The media presented that way. And it kind of carried over with the fans.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that. So, all right, let's be a little light with this, man. You a rapper. You in a rap game. So, before I get into, like, what you doing, who is your favorite your current rapper?
Future?
See, man, you don't like Big Crit?
I mean, I never really got into Big Crit.
Oh, man, you kidding me, man?
No, I'm saying that he's not one of the influential rappers here today, but at my time, and who got my ear? Future has my ear at this point in time.
Oh, man, so he probably would want you to go hard at Russell Wilson. We're gonna be careful with that one.
So tell folks about what you're doing in the rap game.
I just do music. I don't consider myself as a rapper or an artist. I just do, look at the other creative sides outside of football. You know what I mean? Make music here and there with my friends, and you know what I'm saying? They do their thing. They really in the rap game. So I'm just supportive of them, and that's my way of hanging and coping with them.
I feel you. Hey, Bree, man, we appreciate you for being on the show, man. Before we let you go, anything you want to say to the people?
Not really. I'm just noting I'm going to be back, and I'm ready to get back on the field. And to all my Washington fans, it's all love, and I miss playing for them in the Burgundy and Gold, but at this point in time, it's like, it was my time to venture off and to a different scenery and different things in my life, so. There's nothing, no hate towards them. It's all love, and hopefully I get to see them on the opposite end.
Hey, I'm sure the fans, they want to see you back on in a Redskin uniform, man, because you a baller, man.
It's all love. All
right, man. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.
All right. Again, man, that is cornerback Bashaud Breland. Hey, join the Urban Sports Team. That's pretty cool, man.
Absolutely. I think he answered everything candidly, which was great. A lot of times you don't have professional athletes do that. And he pointed out how his relationship with Jay Gruden was a father-son type relationship where he needed tough love. He needed that tough coach. And we don't perceive Jay Gruden as a tough guy.
No,
so it was pretty cool to hear that. Now, it's funny that he took it that way versus
how the media took
the backup quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens took it when he was here.
Oh, all right,
and that's why
Rob Griffin III.
I won't go say his name. See, you put him out there, but it's amazing how different players respond differently to various types of discipline and coaching, and it shows that maybe Jay Gruden does have a backbone, even though we don't get that from him when we see him at press conferences.
No, I told you, I've always liked Jay Gruden. I've always liked the way he does things.
I like Jay Gruden too, actually. I'm just saying that I like Jay Gruden personally. I think he's an excellent offensive mind. Yeah. I felt like after what happened last season with the games they let go, such as New Orleans game and others, they probably needed to clean house, you know, but it wasn't anything personal against him. But I'm glad that Bree pointed out that he had a good relationship with him.
And I'm glad that he has like love for, you know, the fan base. Cause I see it on Twitter, man. It amazes me how people really like, he's like the guy that people go at and say, you know what? Oh, we can do better than Bree. You know what I mean? Like if you look at, and I didn't want to call it out for what it is. If you look at last season, Other than Kendall Fuller, Bree was probably the best quarterback on the team.
Probably so. And one thing that, at least from my observation and what I believe I watch on television is, and in person, is that Bree often covers the best receiver on the other team.
A lot.
So it's easy to say, oh, he got roasted, but he's covering the best guy on the team.
And then people also forget that, you know, all cornerbacks get got every once in a while. You know what I mean? Like Deion got.
Here it is. Here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
When you got a guy who's a media darling such as Josh Norman, he had a down year, but the average fan won't tell you he did.
No, exactly. Agreed.
But those of us who know football know.
No, it was a down
Kendall
year.
Kendall Fuller was the best
corner
on the team last year, and then Bree was probably second.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a knock on – we're talking about last season. It's not a knock on Norman. We're talking about one year, right?
Yeah, I mean, but even if you look at the rivalry games, who was covering Dez Bryant most of the game?
Bree.
Who was covering Odell Beckham?
Bree.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, for most of it.
I'm just reiterating that.
You know what I mean? And for a lot, for most of his tenure here, he held his own. He held his own for most of his tenure here.
He had some bright moments. He had some down moments. There was some games where he was left on island. But at times, again, we go back to scheme. We go back to coaching. That was where the issue really lied. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out how the flight marshal improved as an overall.
So y'all try to get on the flight marshal now.
I laugh at that crap for real. But we had him on the show. Come on, man. I thought it was hilarious. Anyway,
so you anyway like me now?
I think the defensive backs as part of the entire defensive unit improved as a group last year, and we said that the offense let them down when they needed them most, it seemed like, which was crazy because the offense had put up such big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, again.
Season before last. Because, I mean, the season.
Yeah, you're right. The season before last.
Not last season before last.
Yeah. So, I mean, regardless, I mean, he said it. Like, their secondary was good last year compared to what we've seen in the past. They ranked ninth in terms of, you know, passer yardage. Does that, again, and in every, and you, again, if you listen to the national media, local media, you would think that they had the worst passing defense in the NFL. But again, that was with Breland and Kendall Fuller. They're not going to have those. Looks like they're not going to have those two for the upcoming season.
Looks like it.
But well,
we know Kendall Fuller's gone already. Bree, if you got eight teams coming after you, Washington, check to see how you're doing. It looks like he's going to go somewhere.
That's interesting. I didn't think that. I wasn't even sure they checked up on him. I thought they weren't even communications with him. I'm glad. At least there's some positive out there that Bree is in the Redskins have talked.
It's a possibility. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I know he's met with Green Bay.
Should have mentioned it. Should have asked him.
No, I didn't want to put nobody's business out there. Try not to.
Well,
you know, you try to keep.
I don't know if he's going to lose leverage if he says anything, but he has people advising him, and overall, good interview. I felt like he was very, very upfront.
I know. I thought so, too. I like that he kept it 100. But here's the question, man. Who should the Skins draft? They got a 13 pick overall. Should they trade back? Trade up? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports, same for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Center, Wally. Here with Ray. We'll tease out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. The NFL draft starts Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Washington Redskins are picked 13th. Who should the Washington Redskins draft?
Well, all along, I've been saying Minka Fitzpatrick.
Who's a very popular individual.
Free safety.
Mm-hmm.
Going to turn corner when he gets into the NFL, at least from my vantage point. But now it's looking like Vita Vea to me. I think he's coming to Washington. Just based on all that I've read, all that I've seen, you got to go defense with that first pick. We know that much. Now, there's another name that is mentioned right around that area, around the 11th to 13th pick. Because if you look at a lot of mock drafts have the Dolphins either getting Fitzpatrick or Vita Vea.
Oh, right? Really? Okay, right. They lost two.
Then you got Tremaine Edmonds out of Virginia Tech, who's also being picked like right around, and he's talented.
Yeah, he is. Oh, no, and he's young. And he's young.
So it's going to be either Vita Vea.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying it right? Vita Vea.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. My bad. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Or Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, going to the Washington Redskins for another 8-8 year, according to the prognosticators on ESPN.com. November 4th, they play the Atlanta Falcons. Just saying.
So
right here in Washington.
This dude here.
If you want to meet me, come on out.
I am leaning towards Vita Vea myself. I think that's a perfect fit for what the Redskins need to do. But I will say this. If Roquan Smith falls down to 13, I'm taking Roquan Smith. And I'll take my chance to drafting a nose tackle in the second round if I could. Because Roquan Smith, the kid out of Georgia, or even, like you mentioned, Ray, Tremaine Edmonds. If he slips down, I'm taking Tremaine Edmonds and seeing he can play inside linebacker.
You want a linebacker so bad. It's amazing.
I want an inside linebacker with sideline speed who can do some damage.
I'm in the barbershop, and everybody's kept saying, Zach Brown, Zach Brown, Zach Brown, Zach Brown. Yeah. I'm like, that's all y'all got, though. You know,
it's one person.
You guys need more than
that. Yeah, exactly. I agree. No, I mean, you're right. You can't just say Zach Brown, Zach Brown. Zach Brown needs another dude beside him because they play the 3-4. They don't play the 4-3. He needs another dude beside him who can help out, who could help clean some things out. Because Zach, and also, the word, you know, Zach Brown isn't the best against the pass. At least you know Roquan Smith is versatile enough to be better against the pass. He's already
sideline, he was like that. Sideline, that speed, that's what you need.
Man. And he grades well if you look at him in college against the pass compared to a Mesa Foster who plays on the team.
So if Roquan Smith is there and Vita V is there,
I'm taking Roquan.
Okay,
I'm taking Roquan. Roquan is the better player. Roquan was the award for the best linebacker in college. Roquan got that award. Roquan Smith is the, if you look at what he did in the combine, matching that with his production in college, that was Roquan Smith. So I think he's the guy you take if he slips down. If he doesn't slip down, Vita V is the guy the Redskins should take. I know people like Deron Payne out of Alabama, but I think that's a guy that you can either
tackle.
You can get later on if you want to trade back. You can get him later on, or he may slip to the second. You never know.
Well, you know Tremaine Edmonds is also he's listed at the same position.
I'll take Tremaine Edmonds
at 13.
Yeah, over Vita.
He's not going to be there though.
I don't think so.
Roquan is going
to be there. Because Tremaine, I think so. I think
we just talked about him, but I'm just saying.
Reason why I'm agreeing with you is because I think one, Tremaine Edmonds is young. He's not even 20 yet. You know, so that you get that year,
be inside linebacker, and then
they say that he may play outside linebacker.
I say he's listed at the same position.
He's both, but a lot of people are leaning towards putting him on the outside linebacker.
The dude from Boise State is outside linebacker, right?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. He's inside.
I thought he was outside.
I believe he's inside.
And then you got another.
He could play both. I think
that's inside, and that's Rashawn Evans.
For Alabama?
Alabama.
Yeah, he's inside.
Yeah, he's late first round.
But he'll be if you want to
try. Not at 13.
I'm not taking him at 13. Okay. I'm not taking him at 13. No, I'm taking Vita Vea at 13. I'm going back.
I think you know what I got to agree with. I think linebacker is the bigger need.
Compared to if it's those two dudes, you dig what I'm like, if it's right. Edmonds or Roquan, because they're going to be better. They're going to be more, there'll be playmakers at that position that you need. You know what I mean? You need a guy like that if you want to have a top-tier defense.
Here's the thing.
You saw it in Jacksonville. Their linebackers are fast and ready to create havoc.
True. But one could argue if you still don't have a pass rush, your linebackers are going to be left out on the island to cover for too long.
That's true.
If a quarterback
has
too much time.
But then you get a healthy Jonathan Allen. You have Ioannidis. You're hoping that Phil Taylor can at least, you know, play enough games. I'm not saying he's going to be the end-all, be-all, but in the rotation, you draft a young kid in the second round, you may be you could be okay. You could be okay, but at least you got that playmaking inside linebacker. That guy that, like, for instance, a Ray Lewis, a Brian Urlacher, Patrick Willis, Bowman, guys that we saw in the past that at that position – when you saw them in that position, you knew they clean crap up. The Redskins, other than Zach Brown, you know, don't have that individual.
My main thing is I want a guy that's going to be fiery. You know, somebody
Some who passion.
Is going to be a leader, right? Right now, I guess Josh Norman is considered your defensive leader.
Yeah.
Brian Kerrigan is arguably your best player on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Your best playmaker, maybe I should say that. Is that an overstatement, maybe?
Brian Kerrigan?
Is he your best playmaker on defense?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
You want a guy who's going to mesh and he's going to fit the combination of those two personalities.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It reminds me when Ayre was drafted. I felt like he was the perfect complement to Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs because he balled and he always had that emotion. And you knew that they were going to gel. And that's what you need on defense. And the defense had continuity last year, which is what I pointed out in our discussion with Bashaud Breeland.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you need that. Again, you need more ballers. You need more team speed. I mean, to be real with you, just need more team speed.
Yep.
That's what this team needs. You listen to Urban Sports Sam Wiley here, my boy Ray. Will T's out. So do you think this team should draft, should stay put or try to trade back and get more picks? since the defense draft is so deep defensively?
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with it. The only issue I would have is that they were to trade up and trade some picks. I feel like they have a nice amount of picks. Why don't you use them all, maximize them? If you trade back and acquire more picks, that's great. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you have a chance to not just build for next year, but build for the future and develop some depth on that bench. Which, with the rate in which players get injured in today's game, you're going to need depth. And you're going to need some youth. So why not develop these guys? You're kind of rebuilding to some degree, mm-hmm. considering that you traded your franchise. You let your franchise quarterback walk.
Franchise quarterback? Your quarterback.
I don't know if that's the term I was meaning to use. But
I know it was.
Here's the thing. I'm not going
to
necessarily get into a debate about
He
was, 4,000-yard passer?
Yeah.
The past, two seasons? Three?
Yeah, he was.
So he was the face of your franchise.
Is Andy Dalton a franchise quarterback?
I'm not even gonna answer that. Was he the face of the franchise? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. You like that? Was that the saying of the franchise? Yes, it was.
It is what it is. It is what it is. The Washington Wizards they got the Toronto Raptors was it Wednesday? It's tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Series is tied 2-2. We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports saying, for Aegis, you dig? Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed, this that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in, it's like a bird. You see fireworks, they carve a tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale hotel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff from the bleeding case. The reason my power was hit. Salute the truth and the prophecy.
This is why I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than racism in recent years.
I live a better life. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting, money and power, the Mecca Americas. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Team. I'm Wally, here my boy Ray. Will T's out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. All right, so trying to think where I'm at my outline. I know, right?
I watch the TV. I know, right? Breaks,
also,
huh?
I got it. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Right now, the Washington Wizards and the Raptors are tied 2-2. In your opinion, what changed? From the Wizards being down 2-0, what changed?
Bradley Beal was a no-show in Toronto. He came home, obviously played much better.
Why is that, though? He's supposed to be a star player, and he can't show up on the road?
I really believe that he just struggled to shoot the ball, find his rhythm. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was anything about playing on the road. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, I don't think he's scared of the moment at all. You know, he got the chance, in my opinion, to grow up and develop. He became all-star this season. Yeah. He also led the team without John Wall, which down the stretch, though, they began to struggle. Because in the early stages of change, teams are not going to be able to adjust yet because they haven't seen this yet. Mm-hmm. Once they start studying tape and they get more familiar with what you're doing, teams adapt and they're better able to defend your new scheme and your new strategies. As good as Scott Brooks is as a player developer, and you know, to some degree, I think he's also, you know, good at drawing up plays, although he doesn't do it at the end of games. He usually goes with one guy in ISO. Again, I think teams caught on, and that's why, in part, why the Wizards struggled down the stretch. So coming back, you bring Wall back at the end of the season, and then the playoffs start, whole new level of intensity. You're still trying to regain chemistry, and they came home and felt good in front of their home fans, and I think it was the perfect remedy for Bradley Beal's struggles.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's obvious to see that it's Bradley Beal, you know, him bringing his A game back. I mean, in D.C. I mean, you saw the bogus foul call he got to get fouled out the game in game four.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody complained about that. I saw you on Twitter talking about it.
No, it was bogus. It was terrible, you know.
I thought the officiating was a little one-sided in Toronto, to be honest.
You think that you thought Toronto got all the calls?
Don't you? I mean, look at the technical. Who was that technical on?
And Keith?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Come on now. This is playoff basketball. And it's physical. Both teams are playing physical. Both teams are intense. I think it's just reputation that got Keith right there.
I agree with some of the other players, but I think John Wall complains a little bit too much. I love John Wall. Like, John Wall is one of my favorite players.
He wants to be treated like LeBron. He wants to be treated like a star, but you know, by the way, he wants star treatment.
I think he complains a little too much.
That hasn't always been his MO, though.
And I know it hasn't.
So I don't know what made the difference. But the reason why I mentioned LeBron James is because after the Wizards late in the season played the Cavaliers, he said, I don't get the calls Bron does. He said, if I know we're not going to get calls down the stretch, I'm not going to the rack.
I know, I heard that one. And I don't get that. Like, I don't get that. Like that.
I'm like, bro, you got to play your game. You have to earn that.
Yeah.
Like James Harden. James Harden never asked to be given star treatment. James Harden earned it.
Yeah, I agree. I just never got why, if you look, why he has this thirst, you know, for that type of treatment. Where, I mean, you all want it. We all want that. I mean, as a basketball player, you want that type of treatment. You want to get calls. But at the end of the day, like you said, like he really hasn't done anything to really warrant that yet. Yeah, a lot of regular season work, yes, but in terms of taking your team to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, you haven't gotten it to that level.
Yo, I think he needs to be more concerned about defense.
Yes.
Because you're 6'4", you're fast, you're athletic. Kyle Lowry should not be able to score the way he does. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Even if they're running picks constantly, which they do, and which all NBA teams do to create space.
Agreed.
You have to fight through those screens, and you need to play better defense. DeRozan scores with ease. I don't think he believes that anybody on the Wizards can guard him. And I thought that Otto was going to be a good matchup based on his length, but
DeRozan is a confident dude right now. He's just a very confident dude.
Well, in general,
we'll
have to see him the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, last year he had a strong postseason, but they had to come back from 2-0 down against Milwaukee, in which he played well. Mm-hmm. And then again, they get eliminated later on by Cleveland, as always. And DeRozan played well, but can you make those big shots in the last 2 minutes of games?
So you listen to the Urban Sports team, my boy Ray. I'm Wally.
But the Wizards,
out.
To me, they could be doing a better job defending him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it starts with Wall. Wall's got to be the anchor. You want to be a star, you got to be a star on both ends.
No, I agree. John Wall, and we've seen in Kentucky. If you watch,
I'm a Wall fan.
If
you That's watch, what they call him in the round ball report.
If you watch
John Wall, guy,
if you watch John Wall in Kentucky, you know he can play defense.
Yeah, of course.
You know he can play defense.
Even in the league.
When he's engaged, he's ready.
When he plays against Kyrie especially, it seems like he really makes a concerted effort to hone up in our terms.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So the Washington Wizards, the Washington Wizards are playing the Raptors tomorrow night. Who needs to step up for the Wizards to steal game five?
I'm going to go with Satoransky.
Okay.
He also, like Bradley Beal, gained a lot of experience starting in John Wall's absence. So in the postseason, you would think he would be prepared. If I'm him, I'm like, Ty Lawson's not going to see the court because I'm going to come in with my experience. I don't turn the ball over much. I have good size. And if you're playing against some of the smaller Raptors defenders, Come on now. The only thing, though, is can you also bring it on the defensive end? We know that at home, the Raptors role players make a lot of their shots, which we didn't see in Washington, right?
Yeah, it's true. Like,
so you have to play defense on the road in order to win. And Satoransky coming off the bench, if I'm asking John Wall to give that effort, I'm also going to be asking a backup that now has great experience with the starting group to come in and fill that role of someone who can give John Wall minutes, who can buy some time for him to get some rest and also keep his team either in it or ahead.
Feel free to tweet us at Urban Sports Team or hit us up on Facebook, our Facebook page post. The question is, who needs to step up in game five for the Washington Wizards is still game five. On Facebook, my man Richie says Porter and Morris, Marquise Morris. Garrett Springfield said Bill Wall will bring his A game. So Michael Thompson agrees that Bill needs to play well. I guess on the road he needs to play well.
Bradley Bill, that's an obvious one to me.
For me it's all the
Porter. Now you're looking at the Toronto Raptors, they have their two main guys. And the Wizards have their two main guys. Whoever wins that matchup is going to win, most likely, right?
That's how the role players have to do it, though, right? The role players got to step up. Like, they have to, like, to me, Otto has to step up. To me, you know, getting 12 is good at home, but on the road, he needs to either get more shots or whatever, get more aggressive. But that, in my opinion, he needs to step up.
Well, let me go back a bit. The first two games, obviously, again, Bill wasn't himself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you're matching up against their two top guys who are going to play well at home in DeRozan and Lowry, then you need your two top guys to match that.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree. It's time for a break. The Washington Capitals eliminated the Columbus Blue Jackets yesterday. We'll have Ed Frankovic from WNXT to talk about the Caps.
Four straight,
you know it. The Caps beating the Blue Jackets and also their upcoming game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Call it how it is.
Talking when it's fatal. Having hard, I can't tell. Wait. Half of y'all might need help. Wait. I might fall in the road there. I might ball in Australia. I might call a for real. All I ask go unveil. Wind blows in the windows and I smack in with a big blow. She got me like info. Know who it's info. Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debts. Gotta lay some down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the salt, got the potion. I got them all like emotions and emotions. I put career in the oceans and put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep rolling. It's dear.
Alright, we are back from break. You don't like you
was that McGraw?
Was McGraw? What? Are you trying to get
me? I heard something say peace.
I didn't say peace.
I thought I heard something.
No, there's nobody said.
Sure?
I'm positive, man. Okay, I am positive.
Sure.
I'm positive. You listen to Urban Sports Sound Wild here with my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T's out. Right now, we have WNST's Ed, Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. What's going on, Ed? How you doing?
Hey guys, it's good to catch up again. Good. We got game one Thursday now.
I know Thursday. I just heard it took a while to schedule the game.
Yeah, they, these leagues, they're all TV dependent, so they're trying to figure out with Boston and Toronto still playing how can they get this going? And all they've announced right now is the first game, and it's going to be Thursday at 7, and then they'll have Vegas and San Jose afterwards. And then Friday, Winnipeg and Nashville. That'll be a heck of a series. And I'm imagining Caps game two is going to be Saturday because the Wizards, as you know, have the building on Friday. Mm-hmm. So the Capitals are going to get their two games in probably Thursday and Saturday. So it's going to get going really fast this year.
Sounds good. So let's go to the Blue Jackets series. How did the Caps go from being down 0-2 to win the series 4-2, win a 4 straight? How that happened?
Well, we're going to start with something you guys brought up last year and came true this year. You need your goalie to be your best player. And Philip Grubauer was not that best player. They put Braden Holtby in, and he became their best player. So Braden Holtby was 2012 Braden Holtby, as we talked 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, I'm a Holtby guy. And then Braden was dialed in. I don't know whatever it was. But he looked like the guy that won the series against the Bruins, knocked them out in 2012, and then took the Rangers, a much better Ranger team, in 7 games the next year. So very encouraging. It started with the goaltending, and then the next big thing was Trotz, and the team made an adjustment on the penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
They made adjustments up top with the forwards. The forwards were allowing a cross-ice pass from the left-wing circle to the right-wing circle, and Columbus was killing them with Panarin getting the puck to Cam Atkinson for some easy shots on the backside, and they were beating Grubauer's glove. So they made an adjustment there. They took a little bit away on Artemi Panarin's time and space. And then the stars came out. Ovechkin, Backstrom, John Carlson, TJ Oshie, these guys got it going. So they really put it together there the last 4 games of the series. Now it was nail-biter there in game 3, and it took kind of a lucky bounce to win that game. And from there, the Capitals just seemed like a different team once they got that monkey off their back and they got that first win. But I credit the goal. The goaltending was the key, guys.
No, definitely. And that's playoff hockey. Like you mentioned before, like you get the gritty goals and you got good goaltending. And that's what Holtby did. And I guess that's as a Caps fan, I think that's what most Caps fans were waiting on. They were waiting for Holtby to have that moment, like a guy like a Brodeur or a Patrick Waugh, a guy that in that point in the postseason when your team needs you, when you're playing and when your back's against the wall, you're down 2-0, and then now you just shut stuff down. That's the hope I think many Cap fans wanted to see.
Well, you guys are absolutely right. You know, that's the key, and you have to have that goalie win a game for you. And in that first overtime, and in the third period of that game 3, Columbus had a lot of good chances, and Holtby, you know, shut him down. And you go back, the Caps did a nice montage of his 10 best saves from the first round series. They put that out there on Twitter today, and a lot of them were in game 3. I retweeted that, and a lot of them are in game 3 and then, you know, game 5 when they needed him to come through again. I mean, game 5, 16-1 in shots in the third period.
That was amazing. And they still
and Holtby, yeah, they don't win that game without Braden.
I agree.
And so that's what you want to see. That's how the Penguins beat the Capitals last year with Marc-Andre Fleury just totally stoning the Capitals. It's goaltending. Like you said, Martin Brodeur and Patrick Roy are two of the best examples of goalies that just flat out carried their team. They had good teams around them.
Yes.
But they were the difference between them maybe making it a few rounds and them raising Lord Stanley. And, you know, that's what they need from Braden this year. He's got to be like Jonathan Quick or, you know, you go back and you look at all the great goalies. But I think Brodeur and Patrick Roy, you hit the nail on the head. Two great ones there.
So, all right, it's my fault. Tell us about the play of Devontae Smith-Pelly and Chandler Stephenson. Like Stephenson got moved to the second line and played well. Smith-Pelly, to me, is a guy that was just gritty. Like he, to me, did everything right when the Cats were down. And a guy that many people thought, like, oh, they weren't sure he's going to even make the team in the postseason. He played well.
Well, yeah, those are two good guys to call out. And Devontae Smith-Pelly, let's start with him. I watched him a few years ago playing with the Anaheim Ducks. And he had an incredible first round series against against the Dallas Stars. And he was a big factor. And it was the year Bruce Boudreau finally got to the third round when he was coaching the Ducks. They ended up losing to Chicago in game 7 and the Blackhawks went on to win the cup. No shame there. Mm-hmm. But then Devontae kind of lost his way a bit. He had a knee injury that slowed him down. And I remember talking with Cavs general manager Brian McClellan last July 3rd or 4th, whatever the day was when they announced they'd signed him. And I said, you know, Brian, I saw that guy play in the playoffs a few years ago, and he looked faster, and he seemed like a guy that could play, and I kept waiting for him to take it to the next level. And I said, what was your theory on why he didn't have the last good couple of years? And he said, well, his knee got bad, and that impacted his conditioning, and that's why they felt that he dropped off, and they really felt like he could be a guy that could come in and really help. And we had Barry Trotz out at WNST a month ago up in Towson. And he was really happy with the way Smith-Pelly's game was coming. Now, he went several games without a point, and he was playing on that third line with Eller and Connolly. But he said, Smith-Pelly's game is coming. And that goal he scored in game 6 was right after the officials, you know, gifted Columbus a goal because Christian Hughes was clearly tripped behind the net.
Mm-hmm.
And Smith-Pelly makes that play, and he uses, if you watch it again, he kind of uses Ian Cole's stick as a little bit of a screen on Bobrovsky, and he just roofs it top shelf. That was a huge goal. And then Chandler Stephenson, you know, Burkowski got hurt in game 2 and hasn't played since and had a minor surgery. And he really stepped up. They tried Verona there for a game, and I think Jacob he's just not ready for the playoffs. It's a physical game. He's got the speed, but he doesn't have the two-way game that Stephenson brings. And that goal Stephenson scored right after Smith-Pelly, boy, that was really a dagger for that shorthanded. So these two guys have really stepped up, and this is something that the Capitals have not had in the last 3 years under Barry Trotz. Some bottom six guys stepping up and scoring goals, and that's happening this year. So we'll see. That seems to maybe bode well for this huge matchup against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's heavily favored. I think you have to. They've won 2 cups in a row. They've had the Caps number. I think the favorite, you know, they're going to wear the favorite label, where the last 2 years the Capitals were kind of favored. So the pressure's really on Pittsburgh, I think. But there's always pressure in hockey.
So true. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have WNXT's Caps insider Ed Frankovic on the line with us. So, Ed, you mentioned the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Caps have them up next Thursday. We talked about it. What makes this team different compared to the other teams that played the Pittsburgh Penguins in the postseason in the past?
Well, I think the Capitals are. I think you got to start with Evgeny Kuznetsov. I think this is now going to be his 4th playoffs. I think he's learned a lot about how he has to play in the playoffs. I think he's learned that he has to get away from the East-West type games. I think that is a difference number one for me, is the experience and the maturity of Evgeny Kuznetsov. Difference number two for me this year, a really big one, is Alexander Ovechkin is in much better condition and is in much better health going into the series. If you remember last year, Ovi was overweight, had a bad year, 33 goals, then took that hit from Nazem Kadri in game 5 against Toronto and really messed his knee up. And that impacted his ability to skate, and then he ended up blowing out his hamstring at the end of game 3 in overtime. And he really was a non-factor. So those are the two biggest factors for me. The third one is I think Braden Holtby's coming into the series with confidence, and he's healthy. Whereas the last 2 years going into the Penguin series, if you go in 2016, Braden had a little bit of a knee injury from the Flyer series. And then last year, remember, Toronto really scored a lot of goals and weird goals. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Braden had the confidence he had. But this year, I think Braden's got the confidence.
Awesome. So Ed, before we let you go, can you let folks know how to get your contact via social media and even on WNST?
Yeah, they can email me at ed@WNST.net if they want to reach out to me. And then on Twitter, I'm at Ed Frankovic, EdFrankovic. You guys put it in your Twitter feed. So feel free to reach out to me. Ask questions anytime. I always love hearing from Caps fans.
Hey, thanks, Ed. We appreciate it. I have a good feeling about this series with the Penguins compared to any other year. I just want you to know that. I have a very good feeling about this one.
Well, I like that. I like the positive energy. Nestor at WNST in our chats, he's been saying he's cautiously optimistic. Let's see how it goes. I think the Capitals, this starting fast, is a little bit of an advantage for the Caps because Evgeny Malkin's battling a knee issue. So I think if they'd have dragged this start out to Saturday or Sunday, that would have benefited the Penguins more. So maybe the league is doing the Caps a favor here.
Well, hopefully. Well, thanks, Ed. Appreciate you. And we'll hopefully have you on next week.
We'll be free.
All right.
I look forward to talking.
Sounds good.
See where we're at.
Thanks, Ed.
All the best, guys.
Thank you. Again, that was WNST's Ed Frankovic, Caps insider. Great guy. And he called it. He said the Caps will win in six. And also, he talked about Hopi. He's the one that said Hopi was a better goaltender, and we all saw that Hopi was the better goaltender. But it's time for a break. When we get back from break, Gary Russell Jr. is fighting Joseph Diaz on March 19th. Ray was at the media luncheon. We'll talk about that after break. You listen to the Urban Sports saying, for Idis, you dig? Deuces.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want
the same questions that I always tell myself. That I'm one of the most dangerous fighters on the planet. Regardless, hands down, speed, power, brain IQ. If we gotta get ugly, we can take it there too. I don't plan on going 12 rounds to say you're ready to go 12. This fight not going 12 rounds. I'm not going to discipline anybody else for the remainder of my career. Mark my word.
So after this fight, it's either unification or going up?
Definitely. I think it's perfect time, and I'll be competing with May, Leo, and Abner, competing in June. Why not make the fight out between the two? If we can't get that, we plan on moving up and away, immediately challenging the WBC champion in that division, and we'll be running everybody down. Like I said, I got 6 more fights in me. I want to be able to spend time with my family and just enjoy life. Just enjoy life, man. That's all I want.
And finally, May 19th, for those that come out, tickets are going to be on sale. Make sure to get them because it's going to be a sellout here at MGM National Harbor. But what message do you want to tell the fans out there? Because the one thing about you is that you are very much about the fans, especially here in your hometown Maryland, and you know, national.
Like I said, the fans is what helps me thrive. When I don't have to leave home for my training camps. A lot of people have to get away from their families and stuff like that to focus in. I don't have to do that. I draw my energy. I pour my energy from the people that I genuinely care about, that I know genuinely care and love me. I think it's so cool to see the people that's, like I say, blowing their horns when they see me jogging, you know, to the mail lady, and you know, that's delivering the mail, to be able to get in their car and drive straight down the street. They live through me. So when I'm in the rain, you're not just fighting me. You're not just rumbling me. You're rumbling my family. You're rumbling my friends. You even rumbling people that don't like me, because I'm rumbling even harder to shut them up too. You know, so we grind and we put the city on the map. Like I say, as long as we got this strap, can't nobody walk down the street.
Real talk, that's friend of the show, Gary Russell Jr., man. The WBC featherweight champion. You listen to Urban Sports saying myself while here with Ray Jeezy. Sorry, I was out of order.
He referenced if people out there listening were really paying attention to the clip. He said, as long as that strap is on me, he was talking about the WBC belt. Mm-hmm. All right, I just want to make sure I clear that up because that didn't sound right. Other than that, he is excited. Gary Russell Jr. is excited to be fighting again right here in his hometown. And, you know, I got to give Jojo Diaz a lot of credit for coming into that room, being a stand-up guy, considering that it was such a pro Gary Russell, you know, media session overall with so many supporters. His family came out pretty deep, which was expected if you know anything about the family. Team Gary Russell. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and just to give you the background information, Gary Russell Jr. is facing Joseph Diaz May 19th at the National Harbor, defending his WBC featherweight championship. He did, again, like Ray said, he said something interesting. He said he was, you know, he's going to move up. He said that on this show. Just want y'all to know that. FYI, he did say this on our show. But I just want people folks to know this. Right. You know what I'm saying? Real people say real things. But yeah, just to see for him to say that he would fight, and I think you said this right. He would want to fight Mikey Garcia, which is really pretty cool.
Check out our YouTube channel. I posted that. It's about a 1 minute clip where he referenced that he not only said that he wanted to fight Mikey Garcia, but he said, I really want Mikey Garcia. He pointed him out of a group of different guys that he just was throwing some names out, but he emphasized that he wanted to fight Mikey Garcia, which is interesting. Mikey Garcia, if you know boxing, that would be a tough opponent, even for somebody as skilled as Gary Russell Jr. But for this fight in particular, it's interesting because the promoter, he asked Gary Russell, he said, the last time you, we said, do you remember last time what happened? You got in the ring with a southpaw, another southpaw. That was against Vasyl Lomachenko. And, you know, it's kind of like, kind of feeling in the room because we know that's a sore spot for him. He gets so amped and animated when he talks about Lomachenko. Now, he didn't respond. He didn't respond in an emphatic way to that question. That's not the word I was looking for, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't very animated in his response, but afterwards, he again referenced fighting Lomachenko. Not really.
Okay.
But that made all of us think like, wow, maybe Diaz could be a problem for him considering he's also another southpaw. And since the Lomachenko fight, Gary Russell has not fought another southpaw. Just that loss.
Well, yeah, but Lomachenko's was a different monster in terms of technique. In terms of skill.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, Lomachenko's strong all across the board versus Diaz. I don't see the speed with him or the boxing IQ, but he's confident. He's also being trained by his dad. One thing that him and Gary Russell Jr. both, you know, acknowledge that they share in common. They're both being trained by their fathers, you know, strong family bonds. But, you know, overall, I think that he's just over Jojo Diaz just overmatched.
So here is what Diaz had to say about the upcoming fight.
It doesn't affect me at all. I'm happy to be fighting in his backyard. He is the champion, and that's what champions are going to do. They're going to be fighting in their backyards where they have the hometown fans supporting them. So I'm going out there come fight night in his backyard, but I'm training very hard. I know what Gary Russell is capable of doing. He says that I don't have the boxing IQ, the power, the speed that that he has, but he's going to be in for a rude awakening come fight night. He's going to see that I do have all the tools to be in.
Does that bother you? When you guys go ahead, and I mean, it's gamesmanship, but does that
bother me at all? It adds more fuel to the tank. It's more motivation. It makes me train harder inside the gym, and I know he's training hard too. I mean, he's a champion for a reason. I know he trains tremendously hard, but I train just as hard as him. Me and my father, we have a good game plan going into the fight. We're training six times a week, every single day, so we're going to be ready for this 12-1 fight.
The fighting here at MGM National Harbor.
I mean, it's tremendous. When I'm jogging in the neighborhood and I see people blowing horns and, you know, yelling out the window, keep pushing and keep grinding, it's cool to know that they'll be able to be in the building.
My bad. I thought it was the same. It's the same thing.
Joseph Jojo Diaz. We'll see how long he lasts. I don't think it's going to go past the third round.
So do you sound confident to you?
Sound and looks are a different thing. He looked like he was happy to be, you know, in that moment. You could tell the kid works hard, though. He does look bigger in person than Gary Russell, though.
Okay.
Which isn't that hard, but they're both featherweights. And I think that's where he was a bit confident because he did point out right away, I'm the bigger guy. Mm-hmm. But as we know, in boxing, size doesn't always. You could be bigger, but James Toney knocked out a bunch of big guys in his career. You know, you think just about different. David Tua is another guy that comes to mind. Maybe a little bit undersized. Sugar Ray, doesn't matter. Once you step in there, it's all about what you can do with your hands.
May 19th, this fight goes down. What do you think the chances of us, like, you know, getting to attend the fight?
We will have to see. You know, we will talk to our people, and we'll go from there. I mean, really, it's a matter of, you know, something we can discuss off the air. Yeah. I was about to say something. We'll leave it at that. But I look forward to being there. If not, you know, I'll be watching on Showtime like the rest of the world. But it was cool being there today. For the presser / luncheon, they had a lot of food that I couldn't eat, unfortunately. It looked really good, though. They had mumbo sauce. So Diaz didn't eat a thing, though. He, you know, he's training hard. His dad looked like he wasn't going to let him eat. But Team Gray Russell, they did partake in the unhealthy meal, which I was a bit surprised considering that Antonio and Antoine on the undercard as well that night.
So we may there's a slight chance that we may be covering it.
Bigger than a slight.
No, not covering. No, I guess I'm saying the wrong thing. There's a slight chance that we'll be having a show at the gym.
I don't know about having a show, but we are being invited to cover some of the upcoming training sessions leading up to the fight.
Okay.
Meaning we can be there in person. We might be able to take some videos and stuff. I don't think we can have a full fledged show.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that sounds good then.
the invitation was already extended. It's just again not for a show, but. There's some training events coming in. We're going to watch him spar. We're going to watch him do his thing as he prepares for the massacre, as he called it.
That's cool. We can do like stand-up like stuff. Like, hey, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we're watching Gary Russell Jr. train.
We can do some John Wall type interviews. Yeah, cool. Gary Russell. We can do that. Will T, I wonder if his turf toe will be healed by then.
Hopefully, man.
He lives not too far from... You know, Team Gray Russell Gym, as do I, Enigma Gym. You know, we'll be in the building. My man, Derek Dog Matthews, shout out to him. I'm going to reach out.
Reach out to him. See if he wants to join us.
See if he wants to cover the event with us.
Yeah, exactly. Man, anyway, it's about time to knock this show out, you know, and end it. It was a great show. It was a big show, man. I think it was a big show.
Big show. Shout out to Brashad Breedland. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And Frank Vick.
Anyway, man, you've been listening to Urban Sports Station for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.